You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Dodgers. I am Allison Footer from MLB.com, and I am joined by my colleague, Lyle Spencer, who is pinch hitting for Ken Gernick this week, and we're going to talk a little Dodgers baseball. So, Lyle, thanks for joining us. This has been a crazy offseason for a lot of teams, but especially teams in the NL West, and the Dodgers kind of were looking to improve their roster immediately without having to keep buying all these expensive free agents. They brought in a general manager who can focus on player development, but they also are the Dodgers, so they have to, you know, maintain something at the top of the division and try to get deep into October. So there's a lot going on, and the outfield mix has sort of been resolved a little bit now that Matt Kemp has been traded. But where do you see Andre Ethier fitting in with this whole thing? Is he definitely a part of the plan, do you think, or do you think that still has to work itself out?
Yeah, I think it still has to work itself out. He is part of the plan because he's still, he's a very good player in his prime. It's not like he's 38 years old. I mean, he can still play the game at a pretty high level. And frankly, I'm a little surprised somebody out there hasn't, come and gotten him because he is available. They do still have a crowd out there, and he can be a really productive player. So my anticipation is somewhere along the way, perhaps this spring, somebody's going to have a need, and they're going to see him this spring and think, hey, this guy can really help us. I would anticipate him being elsewhere. I think it would be good for him. I think it would be good for the club because, if you look at it realistically, they want Jock Peterson. They're hoping that he can be sort of a left-handed version of Mike Trout, although that's an impossible bar to present for anybody. But mm-hmm. That kind of player in center field, and they want him out there. I think that's evident. And they have Crawford. Yeah. And so anyway... I do think Ethier will end up somewhere else this season.
Well, you bring up Peterson. That was going to be, a little. That's another kind of interesting and curious situation. They do want him out there, and they probably plan to have him out there. But, yeah, like Ken Gernick pointed out, I mean, he got to these numbers at AAA, these 30-30 at AAA, basically because, anyone else that had been on that path would have been promoted to the majors. And it was just such a log jam with the Dodgers that, he was down there long enough to put up those numbers. But that being said, it's hard to really project what a young guy is going to do, on the major league level. And there's that fine line about, okay, we're going to throw him in there, yet there has to be a contingency plan, yet, Ethier could probably bring them something because there's going to be a few teams that would want him. So how hard is it for them to really, focus on Peterson just being a regular part of this lineup?
Well, I think that they're pretty much committed to him, primarily because I think they believe, without question, he's going to be a defensive upgrade from day one. That was an unsettled position last year, and I think a big part of what their offseason plan was involved improving their up-the-middle defense, and they have done that, and he's part of that. He's a really good defensive player. So even if he, in the beginning, hits seventh or eighth, and, to reduce pressure on him to produce offensively, I think my sense is they want to find out. And if he struggles, and, they acquired Chris Heisey, he's a fallback there, they can still, they have options with, Puig has played there. I just think they do have options, but they don't. I really don't think they anticipate him struggling. He's a very confident kid with all the tools.
And let's talk about the rotation a little bit, because it seems like the rotation is something that I'm always talking about being a little bit uncertain with the Dodgers, even though that's. Sounds really silly with Kershaw and Greinke at the top, but the back of the rotation, I mean, there's some uncertainty. There's a lot of injury history with these guys. When they're good, they're good, but when they're not, it's they're really not even on the field. So can they stay healthy? We're talking about McCarthy and Anderson. I mean, how do you see, the back end of the rotation, even though it's those guys don't get the star billing, but it's a huge part of what makes a 6-month season work. And
right.
those guys are going to definitely have to stay on the field.
I agree with you, Allison. I think that probably, for me, is the biggest question mark coming in, how that will shake out. They must be convinced that those two guys are completely healthy and ready to deliver on their ability. I mean, but if those guys are healthy and productive, they're as good as you'll find 4 and 5 in a rotation. I've seen enough of both of them, and I think they're betting on them being able to physically hold up. And if they don't, they have a few options down below. And with their resources, they're always capable of going out and making a deal for somebody. Personally, I was a little surprised they didn't try and sign a guy who would be more of a sure thing to give them 200 innings, a guy like Ervin Santana, say, who was out there and readily available. But as I said, these are smart guys. They come highly recommended, the new regime here. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt on this one until further notice. If these two guys are healthy and sound, that's going to be a phenomenal rotation.
And they have said so far for now. They've really said that they're not going to be in on Scherzer or Shields or Hamels for that matter. I mean, do you believe that? Do you think that they're sincere? They seem to be saying that they're pretty happy with the rotation that they have heading to spring training.
Yeah, I think they're content. It sounds to me like they're pretty content with their entire club. They've made some interesting bullpen additions, and I think they're going to be solid there. I know a lot of people have questions there, but I think they overlooked the fact J.P. Howell had a tremendous season last year, and that tends to get overlooked in front of Kenley Jansen, and they acquired Joel Peralta, who's proven 7th, 8th inning guy, and they have a few other guys back there who have a lot of potential. Baez, I think, has a live arm. He could be a really effective 7th inning guy. And Sergio Santos, who they signed to a minor league deal, is proven back-end reliever if healthy. And if he's healthy, then they're in really good shape in the bullpen, I believe. And as for their overall roster, I think they've got depth everywhere, and I think they're in pretty good shape.
And it's interesting because, I mean, I find kind of what the Dodgers did even a little bit more fascinating than what the Padres did, even though the Padres that was by far the most compelling storyline to watch, but they just have so much work to do that they're almost, I don't want to say starting over, but they really overhauled. But the Dodgers, they traded Kemp and they said goodbye to Ramirez. But have we thought enough about really how that affects the offense? And did they gain enough back to make up for what they were losing? I mean, it's one thing, okay, well, our outfield is too crowded, and well, Hanley is this and that. But okay, now they have to still figure out how to keep that offense humming. What do you think about that as far as just how they replace those guys?
Yeah, they lost obvious power with Ramirez and Kemp. I mean, there's no getting around that. But, Jimmy Rollins can drive the ball, and so can Kendrick. They're basically gap hitters, but they're very productive players. They're consistent. They're durable. I think they'll be fine with those two guys replacing basically Ramirez and B. Gordon, what they produced offensively. I think Puig settling in, relaxing as an everyday right fielder rather than kind of bouncing around. I think a lot of people overlook the fact that in spite of all the attitudes people have toward him and his behaviors and demeanor and those kinds of things, the guy was a pretty productive player last year and figures to get better, because he's such a young guy. So, and Carl Crawford, Scott Van Slyke, very effective right-hand hitter against left-hand pitching, so that can be a highly effective left field platoon. So and Juan Uribe, they didn't have him all year last year, and he's always been sort of, to me, the glue there with that team. Highly underrated defensive player, clutch hitter, great clubhouse guy. And of course, the Adrian Gonzalez, haven't even mentioned, one of the most consistent offensive players and defensive players in the game. So I think what they're looking at is it's going to be a solid offense. It won't be, you know, eye-popping, as explosive potentially as it has been, but I think it will be a productive offense that will give you enough offensive support behind a really good pitching staff.
And, of course, we're always going to talk about Don Mattingly. If they get off to a slow start, do you think the quote-unquote hot seat would apply here? You know, the ownership, everyone knows that they sort of inherited him, and but the clubhouse, he seems to be like an inside-the-clubhouse kind of guy, and maybe not the greatest tactician, as they say, but do you think that they'll be rumbling starting if the Dodgers start slowly?
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be real interesting to see how all that unfolds, because there will be a totally new clubhouse dynamic now. And so he'll have sort of a clean slate with this group of players in terms of internal leadership. I think you're right. In a lot of ways, a lot of people think the jury's still out on Mattingly in terms of how good a manager he is. We don't really know. And obviously, management believes in him, and that they they're entrusting him with a lot of responsibility here, and feel he and his staff are capable of getting the job done. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And I don't think anybody knows how a whole new management team is going to respond if they do struggle again. And, you know, that's the great unknown. It's going to be a really interesting season in every respect, I think. I've known Mattingly since he was a player. He's a guy who loves challenges. He made himself into, for me, a Hall of Fame level player. And I'm sure he's determined to show he can be just as good a manager as he was a player. And here's the opportunity to show that.
Speaking of the Hall of Fame, I mean, you've been around quite a while, and you've seen a lot of elections. And what did you think? What do you think, like, there seems to be obviously a ballot issue with how crowded it is. There's a lot of guys that, you know, didn't make the cut. Their vote totals are very low. But it seems like that's going to clear out a little bit now after this year. And really the only slam dunk first ballot guy next year will be Ken Griffey Jr. So do you think that a lot of these other guys are going to get more support as time goes on? And what did you think about some of the guys that didn't make it, like Piazza, Bagwell, those guys?
Yeah, I do think that will happen. I think this was a loaded class. Next year's is not as loaded. I think voters will take a harder look at a number of guys. You mentioned Piazza, Bagwell, Tim Raines, Mussina, Schilling. There are a whole slew of guys. I've always been a big Fred McGriff supporter. I was an Alan Trammell supporter. I was a Mattingly supporter. I thought players from that era, their numbers got kind of dwarfed. And unfortunately, like a McGriff in his time, I thought he was for sure a Hall of Fame player, what he did. He was probably, to me, the most feared hitter in a lot of ways of that time. And so, yeah, I do hope voters take a much deeper look at the credentials of some of these guys who have gotten overlooked recently, because there are a lot of really good candidates. I think I've always felt Raines is a slam dunk Hall of Famer. Bagwell, Piazza looks like he's got a really good shot of making it next year, and Bagwell's right there with him, I think. I do think it opens up a lot of doors, hopefully. And I've never been one who feels, you know, we need to keep it to a select few players. I guess I'm a kind of a liberal in this sense, but I covering the game for 40 years, I think I've seen a lot of Hall of Famers who haven't made the Hall of Fame.
I think I'd agree with you. A lot of people seem to agree with you, but I don't know. Some of these totals just seem really low, and I would expect it wouldn't surprise me if some of these guys jump 20% next year, but we will find out. So, Lyle, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate pinch hitting, and we'll see you soon.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.